Give me a break. I don't believe this can't be true. You're obviously more than a week old, and Mohawk just left a week ago. You can't be Mohawk. And she said, I'm Mohawk. You told me I could come back. And so I looked around to find a body, and I found an abandoned kitten. Well, lo and behold, like a couple weeks before, Kristen Rhonda had found an abandoned kitten in the Blackberries, and they named him Blackberry, and they had adopted this kitten. She said, I'm Blackberry's sister, and this body was abandoned, and the soul that was in this kitten was so frightened it didn't want to stay. So we switched out. You've heard of walk-ins, right? And I said, yeah. We switched out, so I'm Mohawk. I'm back. All right, I need to leave you with that because we are at the end of the hour. We are going to run. Gary, let's not run the tip. Let's just turn it over. We'll run it at 11 o'clock instead so we can do this fairly quickly. We're going to turn this hour right around. We will run the summer tip at 11 o'clock instead because we need to be sure that you're taking care of your animals in the heat. We'll just turn this hour right around, and as soon as we come back, I will get to the rest of the story. The boys are back. Can't wait. Stay with me. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK, FM 98.9, Digital HD3 Seattle.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Now wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk. Welcome you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial, tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website, www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again. That will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And it is a Martha and Robin Sunday. That means gifted mystic, Mount Shasta mystic, Robin Alexis is with me. Are you there, Robin?
I am, and we still have a few of those readings for the special price of only $159. So if someone wants to get on the phone right now and call 310-691-6357 or email me at robin@robinalexis.com, Bob is standing by to take that information. So
all right.
We will give you,
in case, if there's anything left, we will spend more of that time starting in the next hour, too, just to make sure that all these readings get taken because it is such a great deal. All right, so I am beginning
yes.
The Boys Are Back story, and The point of this, if you're just joining us, is because I can't stand it. It's what my whole life has changed in 24 hours this week. I am on cloud nine. I'm like walking 6 feet off the ground. And I have been asked to share the whole story today in honor of the 10th anniversary of 9/11. And if you stay in your heart with me and go through this whole story, we are going to release sadness and grief and let I'll go, and we're all going to end up in the most incredible joy and bliss by the time I get finished. And now we have a straight, we don't have to break until like 10:45, 10:50. So I can take us through the whole thing. I don't think it'll take that long. But and then once we get through the boys' backstory, then we will get to animals in the news and good news and all of that and do our Robin and Martha thing, tuning into animal situations and what's going on and what the animals have to say. So. All right,
so
I told you.
Excited.
So we're back at the farm in Monroe. Probably it was 18 years ago this last June. And Krista and Rhonda were living in my rental house. We had captured the porcupine. He passed away. He told us he was coming back. We're 1 week later. We're at the woodpile, and there's this little teeny kitten who's just said, you know about walk-ins. Well, I found a soul, was scared to be here, didn't want to be here. We switched out. Here I am. I'm Mohawk. I'm back. Now, she's screaming that and running around, but I can't get close enough to her to catch her or pick her up, but yet she's bumping and rubbing all over my wolf Odie, Eddie, you know, my Arctic wolf, Fountain Shepherd. And I realized at that point, this is really strange, but the dogs, our dogs had had more contact with Mohawk the porcupine and had been closer to the porcupine than we had. So actually the porcupine was more comfortable with the wolves than with us humans. So it took quite a while, you know, the short story is it took quite a while to get her into the house and I was still, you know, this is 18 years ago. And even though I talk to animals and I do all of this and understood the concept of walk-ins, this is still kind of hard for me to believe. So one day when it was still the summer, maybe a week or two down the line, and she was running in and out of the house to eat, but she spent most of her time outside. She'd come in to eat and run back out again. And it was a hot summer day, and the door was open. And I just said to her, you know, I decided to call her Mohawka because she was a gray calico and she's female. So I named her Mohawka. Well, I said, you know, I just don't really believe this. I'm having a hard time. So can you kind of like, I need some evidence. I need a real sign that this is really true. Well, she scampered off out of the house and she was gone for a while. And I have no idea how long she was gone for. When she scampered back in, and I swear to you, this is the absolute truth. And I swear to you, this whole story, beginning to end, I am not embellishing in any way, shape, or form. Every single thing I'm telling you is the absolute truth and the way it happened. I don't have to. It's so incredible. I don't have to embellish. I'm a great storyteller, but I'm telling you the truth. Anyway, she scampers back in, and I swear to God, she has these little off-white twig sticks stuck in her tail. And I had saved some of the porcupine quills. I had them save some of the porcupine quills because they called me and that was part of the problem. You know, Pilchuck called me after they had the porcupine, said he's injured, we can't fix him, we got to put him down. So they saved me some of the porcupine quills. She had little twigs stuck in her tail that were exactly the same size and shape as porcupine quills. She comes running in and says, how's this? Yeah, okay. The other thing that really got me is that I was sitting in that easy chair in my front room, and she came walking around the side of the chair. And I thought, what a good opportunity. I can reach down and touch her and pet her. Because, see, she still wasn't really letting me handle her. And so as she walked by my chair, I reached my hand over to stroke her. And, oh, my gosh, she exploded. And she jumped 2 feet in the air, hit the ground, and rolled up in the tightest little ball and stuck all her hair out. And I just cracked up. Because that's what porcupines do to defend themselves. They roll in a tight ball and stick all their quills out. Well, I just laughed. I'd say, Mohawka, you are not a porcupine anymore. That will not save you. And so then I had to talk to my other cats to ask them to teach her how to be a cat. And the cats actually had to teach her how to be a cat. And for the longest time, when she finally did trust me enough to let me touch her, the first place and the only place for a long time she'd let me touch her was under her chin and on her belly. Because in a porcupine suit, that's the only place they don't have quills. All right, so I accepted it. She's Mohaka. She lived with me. She was mostly outdoors, but she came in. She lived with me for the rest of her life. Even when, you know, my mom died, I had to move into the city to take care of my elderly father with dementia. I was concerned that she wouldn't make a city cat very well. I thought, well, you know, now Kristen Ronda didn't live in my rental anymore. They had their own house. But I kind of thought, since they didn't have any cats, that maybe if she didn't want to be a city cat, maybe I could talk them into taking Mohaka for the rest of her life because they lived still in the country. But I asked her if she wanted to be a city cat and put out and she said that she did and she wanted to go with me. So she moved with us to the city and lived out her life. And she, you know, eventually became a wonderful lap cat and a wonderful kitty. And she, while I still lived in Seattle taking care of my dad, she passed away, you know, in that situation. And I think if you're a longtime listener, you'll remember the story because you've heard about all these animals in my life. And that's when Sandy Gaston was still my call screener. Sandy came over to the house and we euthanized her together in the house, and it was very spiritual and very wonderful. That was it. Said goodbye to Mohaka. And now, in the meantime, back at the farm, when Mohaka was 2 years old, I got my second ruddy Abyssinian kitten, and that was Boot Scoot and Boogie, or Scooty, the absolute love of my life. And Mohaka was 2 years old, and I got Scooty. And then 2 years after I got Scooty, I couldn't stand it. I had to have more Abyssinians, so I got the Blue Boys, G-Man and Jilpy. So they were all, you know, 2 years apart. Mohaka was 4, Scooty was 2. The Blue Boys, G and Jilps, came in at that stage. And those of you that have been with me as listeners for a long time will remember I always talked about them as Scooty and the Blue Boys. Okay, so when I moved to, I had other cats at the time, but they all passed on. When I moved to Seattle, I had Mohaka, Scooty, and the Blue Boys. So all those 4 cats moved in with me and Dad in Seattle. Mohaka passed first, and then while I was still at the house in Seattle, by that time I had met Kim Miller, medium and animal intuitive. I met her in 2003. When I started doing Animal World here on KKNW, and she became a friend. She had been a fan of Animal World for a long time. I met her here in the station. She was on another show. She started to do Animal World, and we became very good friends. Then at some point, Robin, you and Bob moved up to this area. You started doing a show on KKNW, and you were doing it during the week, but you felt compelled to move your show to Sunday at 1 o'clock, right after my show. And so that's how you and I met. And of course, we hit it off right away. So Robin and I became fast friends very quickly. And so you need to know that from that point on, meeting Kim, meeting Robin, I continue, of course, to talk to my own animals and do all this kind of stuff with them. But often, especially when it's things that I'm not so sure about and involves, you know, like life decisions, I often confirm and clarify with Robin and Kim Miller Medium, sometimes even Krista, you know, because she's very intuitive too, and gifted. So I confirm and clarify all of these things to be sure that I'm not nuts. And kind of the bottom line is I am nuts, but it really is happening. So there you go. So Mohaka passed. And then when not Jilpy, who's my baby, he was one of the Blue Boys. He got very sick. And for the last couple years of his life was really nurturing him and lots of special stuff with him. And so he and I became so close on a heart level, and he truly became my baby because I had to baby him so much through this process. And then at some point, he told me that his body couldn't be fixed and that he needed to leave, that this physical body was going to die, and that he had some agenda on the other side he had to do and care for. And Kim confirmed that, and Robin, you also were involved by then.
Oh, yes.
And you confirmed that. And so, you know, Kim and Robin and my, you know, my friends, Kristen, Rhonda, they helped me get through this. But I have to tell you, folks, when because Jopie was only 12, and I was used to my cats living to at least 15, and so this was too early, and this was too soon, and I wasn't ready. And, you know, I had lost my mom, my dad. My dad was so bad and was so demented, and I couldn't care for him anymore. I had to put him into a home, and we'd had to trick him to get him there, and it was so hard. And we tried our best to help Jopie, and he ended up at the emergency hospital, you know, on Lake City Way, and they couldn't do anything, and I had to go. And of course, I always have to be with my animal friends to help them leave their bodies, and I understand that we're physical body, we're spirit first and physical body second, and I know with every cell of my being that it's only the physical body that dies, but I had had so much loss, I wasn't ready. And I'll just tell you, my heart broke. And that was just so hard. And I came home, and I cried, and I wailed, and I cried. I know how to process my emotional energy, and I did all of that. But, oh, it was so painful. It was so painful. But Jopie said when the time was right that he was coming back. And I it wasn't right then to have him come back right away. And he had work to do on the other side. And so we kind of waited on that. So then eventually, you know, my dad passed, and then I sold that house in Seattle, and I moved out back after a couple of years. Monroe felt like home again, and I found my wonderful little place in Monroe and moved out. And so I still had then Annie Golden and Scooty, Boot Scoot and Boogie, and G-Man, Jopie's brother. So that was my little animal family, and we moved out to Monroe, and we were happy campers on the new property. It was perfect for Annie because Annie was getting older, a lot of arthritis, and speaking of her being born on 9/11, not the actual 9/11 anniversary, but year before, she was, no coincidence, a genetic, behavioral, and physical disaster. You know, she was the worst Pluckner case I've ever seen. But we kept her, thanks to Dr. Al, we saved her and kept her stable for a lot of years. But she was deteriorating and a lot of arthritis, and it was hard for her to get around. And this is a rambler and all on one level, and it was very good for Annie. And, of course, as soon as I got there, I had the Taj Mahal built. You know, Scotty, the cat run guy, built the Taj Mahal for the boys. And I was so pleased that Scooty was still hanging in there. Scooty was getting older. He was hanging in there. He got to enjoy the Taj Mahal and all of that. And then this last winter, those of you that have been with me as listeners, you know it was a tough winter for me. And during all the snow is when Annie Golden Retriever crashed. And boy, you know, Robin and Kim helped me through that. And Annie told me that, you know, she, every time we'd tune in, she'd say, I'm not ready yet, but I'll let you know when I'm ready to go. And I think Robin, didn't she tell me that when she couldn't hold her bladder anymore, that then she'd be ready to go.
And yes, so I remember that.
As soon as the snow melted and I could get out, Got up one morning and she couldn't get off her bed. And then when I looked, she had wet the bed. I knew that was the day. So Scotty, bless his heart, came up because, you know, and drove us down to the Humane Society is where we went. She said she was good riding in the Mini, and they were very, very wonderful, and they came out, and I held her, and we euthanized her in the Mini, and it was really beautiful. And I you know, I with Annie, she was so messed up her whole life. I was always kind of almost prepared for her to go anytime, and even though it was painful to say goodbye, it wasn't, you know, a horrible bash, because she was so uncomfortable and so deformed and so old that it was really time. So that was not so hard. But what was hard and what I wasn't expecting was I was so focused on Annie Golden that I hadn't paid close enough attention to what was going on with my beloved Scooty. And I have to tell you, this is going to really get me, because my Boot Scoot and Boogie, my Scoots, my ruddy Abyssinian, oh my God, he absolutely was the love of my life. And I have never had such an incredible soul in an animal suit. I mean, he literally spoke English. He changed everybody's life that met him, as to how intelligent and incredible animals can be. And, you know, he slept curled up in my arms every night and bumped and rubbed and motored me and was my best friend. And I cannot tell you how much I loved that cat. And when Annie went, then I realized that something was wrong with Scooty. And if you have been a regular listener, you will know that 2 years prior to that, when I had Scooty in for his annual exam up to Dr. Bill at Quilcita, Dr. Bill was examining him and he was palpating his belly. And all of a sudden, Dr. Bill's face got just white and his mouth kind of dropped. And he just looked at me and said, "We're taking an x-ray." Oh, God, my heart dropped. And so we took an x-ray and there was something there. And then we were in the right away for an ultrasound. And we determined that Scooty had biliary cystadenomas in his liver. And that was a whole long ordeal with Robin and Kim and me communicating with Scooty. And Scooty said, because there was a chance we could do a surgery, majorly invasive, and try to remove the largest cyst from his liver and buy him some more time, but they couldn't be sure from the ultrasound they could get it all, and it's filled with fluid, and if it was ruptured and got into his abdomen, oh, it would be awful. And there was a possibility that if he had the surgery, maybe he wouldn't recover. And so when Robin and Kim and I, all three of us, would independently speak with Scooty to make sure that we were all getting the same message, and Scooty said that he wasn't afraid to have the surgery, but he was concerned about his ability to recover. And he said, unless I could ensure him 100% that he could recover from the surgery and we would have really quality time left, he didn't want to do it. So between me and Kim and Robin, we all realized that that was not an option. And I knew in my heart that surgery was not an option. So I told you guys all then. So we all decided we're not going to do the surgery. I was just, Scooty and I would just spend whatever time we had left loving each other's socks off. And I'll tell you what, I didn't go on vacation. I had made invitations to all kinds of things. I didn't go anywhere. I never took one moment for granted with that beloved boy. And we loved each other up one side, inside out, and backwards for the rest of his time. And he lived quite a bit longer than they had thought. They thought maybe, Dr. Bill thought, never thought maybe he'd have 6 months, but it was almost a couple of years. And so I was very grateful for that time. But now we're back to last winter, first part of this year. Annie Golden has just passed. Well, got through that. And then I realized that Scooty's going downhill. And we knew that that he eventually these biliary cyst adenomas would grow so big. They weren't malignant, but what they do is they grow so big, and it's like there's just tons of them in the liver, that eventually there's no room for the stomach, and they can't eat. And that's what was happening. Scooty couldn't eat anymore. And so, oh my gosh, Robin, I can't tell you what a gifted healer she is. And especially like when Annie tanked so badly and I was afraid she needed to be euthanized, but I had 10 inches of snow and a dumpster and a torn off roof of my house. I couldn't get my car out. We couldn't get out. I couldn't get out. Nobody could get in. Robin was able to do enough healing on Annie to get her to rally and come back and get her through the snowstorm. And with the healing work that Robin did with Scooty, she helped him keep going for quite a while. And you remember that, Robin. We were in communication a lot.
Almost daily then, sending him energy for 1 to 2 hours a day.
Yeah, yeah. And, oh my gosh, I just could never, ever thank you enough for what you did and to help him as you did. But eventually, there came, you know, the day that he couldn't eat, and anything he did eat, and I was hand feeding him, and then I had to force feed him and poke him down, and for a while he was saying it was okay, and I would cook little chicken and poke it down his throat, and he was saying that was okay, and he liked that, and he still wanted to stay, and then one morning he wouldn't let me do it, and he said it was time. And I'll tell you, this was the hardest. And of course, I'm the most spiritually grown at this point in my life, and I know all these things more than I've ever known them, but this was the hardest. And I also know that Scooty couldn't ride in the car. He had a genetic car. His dad was the same way, and he would get car sick, and he couldn't ride in the car, so I knew that, you know, that I didn't want to take him to the vet. And Dr. Bill was out of town anyway. And so when this morning happened, and he said it was time for him to go, he didn't want to go, but it was time for him to go. You know, I called all the vets and around and tried to find someone that could come to the house, and I was not having a lot of luck. And so when I called Robin and asked her to work some magic, and she did. And then all of a sudden, I just popped into my mind, because it was Dr. Doug. And he's an animal world vet, Dr. Doug Yearout, a holistic vet. And he's up in Lake Stevens. Now, he's not a house call vet, but he'd been doing animal world for 15 years. And you know, he was, and I just thought, I'll call Dr. Doug. And I did. And coincidentally, happened to be there, and he had an injured hand, and he didn't have a busy day, and he said that he would drop what he was doing, and that he would come, and that he would do it at home. And bless his heart, you know, he's a spiritual man, and he came, he brought his assistant, and he brought smudging material and crystals and all this kind of stuff, and we had a wonderful spiritual ritual. But I'll have to tell you, you know, I didn't want Scooty to go, and Scooty didn't want to go. And so it wasn't a real easy euthanasia, as it usually is. The tranquilizer didn't take, and it was just hard. It was just really hard. And once again, my heart just broke. And I think I was in a coma for 3 days. And even with Robin's help and Kim's help and Kristen Rhonda's help and everybody praying and all of that, it was so hard. And before her visit happened, Scooty had already told me that he was going to come back. And I, of course, thought that, well, that I would get him back right away. But it was so painful. It was hurt so much. That I just couldn't. And I have to tell you, with all the loss. And those of you that are metaphysically inclined and do understand what's going on the planet and the energetic changes and us moving into the ascension energies and the new earth energies and moving towards 2012, and we all know stuff is happening, things are changing. You know, it was just too much for me. And combining that with then some other losses, I just decided that I just didn't want them back yet. And then I realized something else that was going on, and that was my G-Man. You know, Scooty and the Blue Boys, he was my last Abyssinian, and he was the last, he was Jopi's brother, and the last Abyssinian left. And, things really started to change. He started really blossoming, being the only cat, you know, because he'd always kind of been second or third fiddle. And G-Man is, you know, and he's huge. He's a 15-pound blue Abyssinian, but he's just the easiest going guy in the world. And so he was always okay with second or third fiddle, but now he was number one. And Scooty talked to him before he left, and Scooty said that G-Man needed to step up and take care of, you know, Scooty said, take care of my mom when I'm gone. And G-Man, oh, bless his heart, he stepped up right away. And Scooty, of course, was my lap cat and my bed cat, my snuggle cat. And G-Man, of course, would, you know, back off because of all of that. And I shared with you after Scooty left how hysterical it was for G-Man practicing, you know, trying to be my lap cat because he's so darn big and trying to scoot in and fit in my lap and all of that. And then he started crawling under the covers and sleeping in my arms like Scooty did. And G-Man and I came so close, and I still my favorite little ritual with him is I tell him I love him so much, I kiss him on the lips. And I do, I kiss him on the lips. And then he got that. And I was blown away the first time he crawled up in bed with me, and he took his little kitty tongue, and he licked me on the lips ever so gently. He said, Mom, I love you so much, I kiss you on the lips. Oh, God. Heaven, heaven, heaven. So I decided, okay, I'm just going to focus on G-Man for a while and let him be number one and let him enjoy that. And then something very interesting happened. I walked out my door one day, got in my car, drove out to the driveway, looked at one side, and oh my gosh, I jumped out of the car. There was a dead porcupine right in front of my house. I've never seen a dead porcupine on the road, for heaven's sakes, and right in front of my house. Oh, and I have to, before I tell you the rest, when I was at the Seattle house, and before I had found the house I'm in now, I thought I was moving. I had found a 20-acre piece in a big property out in Monroe that I thought I was going to get that property and move there. And so when Mohaka passed away in Seattle, she said she was going to come back to this other property, and she was going to be a beaver because there was a creek on the property and a beaver dam and all of that. And it's only a few miles away from the house I actually did move into. But so she said she was going to be a beaver and come back on that property. So, okay, that would be fine. And so, okay, but then then the energies change and everything shifts, and I decide I'm not going to buy that 20 acres, and I'm going to buy a little place that I can take care of all by myself, and this is going to work, and that's the place I ended up in. And I just kind of wondered about Mohaka, and she's a beaver out, but I figured, well, everything will be okay. So anyway, all right, so I'm driving out, I get to the end of my driveway, there is a dead porcupine in front of my house. Well, I get out of the truck, I'm out of my Mini, I walk over to the dead porcupine, and all of a sudden I feel, you know, it's one of those doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doos, my body starts vibrating and I hear Mohaka in my head. I'm out of body again, I'm out of my body again, and can I come back as a cat, can I come back? And I said, well, okay. Just let it make it real obvious and let me know where you are, but yes, you can come back. So I call Robin and say, you know, am I really nuts or did this really happen? And Robin, you confirmed it right away and spoke with Mohaka, and she said she was out of body again and was going to come back. And Robin tried to communicate. I communicated. We really couldn't figure out where she was coming back and how it was going to go down. So one day I'm sitting in my living room. I'm talking to Mohawk and saying, and I get from her, I'm back, or I'm coming back. I'm coming back, and I'm coming back soon. And I said, okay. Well, how am I going to find you? She says, call Kim. I said, what? Call Kim. And I said, okay. But, you know, in my own inimitable fashion and sometimes being a procrastinator as I can be, I didn't call Kim. Well, I don't know if it was a day later or 2 days later or 3 days or whatever. Kim calls me. And when I pick up the phone and it's Kim, I don't let her say anything. I said, oh, gosh, you must have gotten the message. I was going to call you anyway because I need to know something. She said, what? And I said, well, I've heard from Mohaka, and she says she's coming back and that I'm to call you because you will know where she's at. And Kim just starts laughing. She's laughing, and she said, you won't believe. She said, you know what I'm doing? I said, what? She said, the reason I'm calling you is because I am on my way to a friend's house who has a rescued, you know, one-year-old cat who just had a litter of kittens this morning. There were three of them. She's already killed two of them. There is only one left, and I'm going out there to try to save it. Guess who it is? So out Kim goes. She's able to save the kitten, and then she goes, do you want me to bring it right away? And I know, because I had told Mohaka, I said, if you come back, because I still had Scooty, G-Man, and Annie Golden. I wasn't worried about Annie Golden or G-Man accepting, a new cat. I said, but you have to come in a form at an age that Scooty will be able to accept you. Because Scooty didn't do other cats, only the cats he grew up with. He didn't like other cats. And I knew it would be difficult to integrate him. So here's this, you know, the first day this morning. And so Kim says, do you want me to bring the kitten to you? And I said, no, it's really important that she nurse on the mom, you know, for the first few days to get the colostrum and stuff. So I told her how to teach the mom how to be a mom and get her to nurse and all of that. And she was able to do that. So little Mohaka. And she was a tuxedo kitty, and she stayed with the mom, but was very tiny, and then I took her in at 5 weeks, and that she became Miss Sophie Sweet Cheeks. And you all know, those of you that are regular, you know the story of Miss Sophie Sweet Cheeks, and she fit in one hand when she came home. And then the rest of the story with Sophie is, I still had Scooty now, and G-Man, or I didn't know, Scooty's gone, but I have G-Man, or no, at this point when Sophie came back, I just did still have Scooty, had G-Man, and then Sophie comes into the picture. Well, she's young enough that when I bring her home, Scooty doesn't flip his cookies because she's teeny. And so I had to keep her in a tent and closed in a room for a while. And then as she's starting to integrate in the house and I'm bringing her out more and letting her wander around, I'm sitting in my easy chair and Scoots is in my lap. And she jumps up on the chair. Well, and he does his... But I showed him how to be, you know, that he could reprimand her if he needed to and all of that. But he wasn't really a happy camper. And then the interesting thing happened is that I started to get real sad. Because what I realized is that, you know, I had never been that real bonded with Mohawk and with Mohaka, because she was always mostly outdoors and it would come to me as the porcupine. And so I'd always honored her free will choice, and I never really allowed myself to bond that strongly on a heart level with her, because And what I really missed was my Jopi, my baby. And so, you know, I was sitting there and I was on, and I even told Robin, I think you're the only one I shared this with. But, you know, I said, it's really hard for me because Mohawka's back and I'd really rather have Jopi. Well, bless that Mohawka. Her heart was so big. She heard that. And she decided to let Jopi come into her body. Now, this is how, you know, this walk-in business, souls can, they can trade places. They can share bodies. I'm sitting in the room, the kitten room, and Jopi's, I had bought him a special bed before he passed away in the Seattle house, and that bed was in that room. But Sophie had never gotten in it, and the other cats didn't really like it. Nobody ever got in it. Well, I'm sitting there on the floor one day, and little Sophie, I look up, and she's sitting smack dab in the middle of Jopi's bed. And her eyes are kind of, I look in those eyes, and oh, my God, my heart just went crazy. It was Jopi. I could see him. I could feel him. It was Jopi. And Jopi was in the body, not Mohawk. And bless her heart, she let him stay in that little body. And when Scooty and I were sitting in the easy chair, and Jopi in Sophie's body came up, I said, Scooty, it's Jopi. And he said, oh, my gosh, it's Jopi. And Scooty and Jopi loved each other. They bumped and they rubbed and they were immediate friends. And then from that point on, for the last, Sophie now is about 13 months old, 14 months old. And Jopi and Mohawka switched in and out of that body. In and out for all these 13, 14 months. Sometimes it was Mohawka. Sometimes it was Jopi. Sometimes it was both of them. And their behavior, and I've told you this from time to time, their behavior changed. Sophie's behavior changed depending on who was in the body, Mohawk or Sophie, Mohawk or Jopi, and back and forth, and because they had very different characteristics and behaviors. All right, so Scooty passes, breaks my heart. So now I have G-Man, I have Sophie and Jopi, Mohawk and Jopi in and out of Sophie's body. And I've decided, you know, it's been a tough time and all of these losses. And I don't know if any of you have read, I've told you about Karen Bishop's last book, In the Heart of the Night, I think is one of the best describing what's going on evolutionary wise here on planet Earth and moving into the new Earth energies and the ascension energies. And she describes what's going on. And how a lot of people are deciding not to stay on the planet. And I have to tell you, I was really struggling with this. Robin, you know, because we've talked about it a lot.
Deeply.
I was really struggling with whether or not I wanted to stay. I had had so many losses in my life, and I was not a happy camper. And I was really struggling. Well, I don't know when it was, a couple months ago or whenever. I decided that I wanted to stay. And by golly, come hell or high water and whatever was going on this planet, I'm going to stay. And then I had a little talk with myself, and I didn't even tell Robin this. A little talk with myself, and I said, you know, if I'm staying, bottom line is I can't possibly do it without a ruddy Abyssinian in my life. And then I had this hot flash. Well, how about if Scooty and Jopi came back together like the Blue Boys, you know? And so I talked to Scooty and Jopi, and I said, all right, you guys, I'm going to stay. I want you boys back. I have to have ruddy Abyssinians, and what's better than one? Two. I said, so, okay, you guys, I want you to find, and already, I have to tell you, remember I talked about wanting a ruddy Abyssinian, and Peg from Olympia, you know, one of my, of our most faithful listeners, because I don't do the internet very well. She had found three Abyssinian breeders in the state of Washington, and she emailed me those. And I had checked them out, and one was too far away in Vancouver. The other one was down in Chehalis, and that one felt okay, but I found out she was retired and wasn't breeding. There was another one in Bellevue, and I looked at their website and the pictures of the Abbeys, and I'm very picky, and I didn't like the looks of their cats. And then I told you when we did Pet Expo down at the Puyallup Fairgrounds a couple months ago, I went to the cat show to see if there were any ruddy Abyssinians. There were none. So nothing was working out. So anyway, so now I talk to Scooty and Jumpy, and I say, okay, I want you to find, I want you to come back as baby male ruddy Abyssinians. So I want you to find bodies. I want you to be close. I want you to make it, well, first of all, I had to get find out if it was okay with them. They said, great, we're ready. Woohoo, oh boy. So I said, all right, find two bodies, two male baby Abyssinians, be close. Now this has to be really simple and make it dirt obvious and let me know where you are. Woohoo. Okay. Let us stay on time. Gonna keep you hanging because the good stuff is coming now. Let's take care of our advertisers and sponsors, and then when we come back, we'll close out this hour with the end of the story. The rest of the story, as Paul would say. All right, stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural foods, even if you home cook for your animal friends, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff. Well, that's why Designing Health created The Missing Link. Now, they start with human-grade, all-whole, natural, raw food stuff. They protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. It comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. You keep it in the refrigerator once you open it. Mix up your animal friend's food, add in The Missing Link, voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3, 6, and 9 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, the fiber. Missing Link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats. There's a Missing Link formula for dogs, one for cats, a vegetarian formula you can feed to both your dogs and cats. There's a bird formula and a horse formula, and Missing Link Plus with glucosamine for connective tissue and joint support, and a dog and horse formula. So ask for the Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies, or you can go directly to Designing Health. You can give them a call at 800-774-7387. That's 1-800-774-7387, or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com.
The latest must-have for dog owners is a custom-made Breeze Guard, a powder-coated welded wire mesh screen that quickly and easily fits in your car's windows. Breeze Guard keeps your dog in the car with the windows open. It keeps strangers' hands out of the vehicle and gives you peace of mind that your dog is safe and happy in your car, parked or moving. Go to BreezeGuard.net for complete product details and information on ordering Breeze Guards. Your dog will love you for this. Check out Breeze Guards now at the Redmond Saturday Market.
Does your dog experience bad breath or gas? Does your cat spit up hairballs? Try Optigest. Optigest is a natural formula of digestive enzymes and the prebiotic FOS. Even pets with a healthy diet can experience digestive upset due to diet change, separation, or the normal aging process. Optigest works fast and has no inactive ingredients. Optigest supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Ask for Optigest at your natural pet store today. Massage is good for everyone, including your pets.
Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including massage for canines, small and large animal certification, and equine ligament therapy.
For more information, go to NWSAM.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703.
Join their Facebook page for exciting announcements and the latest class updates.
Karma specialist and founder of Metaphysical Mothering, Robin Alexis, is nurturing, powerful, and phenomenally gifted. Her books and personal one-on-one phone sessions can change your life forever. And now she's channeled the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal. Learn about this membership and how to get exclusive contact with her at her website, robinalexis.com. Robin invites you to register for her weekly newsletter and share your comments and experiences in her blog and forum with her and other community members at robinalexis.com. Robin uses her ability as a medical intuitive and a metaphysical healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. She is a medium and she can talk to your spirit guides and angels, and she's adept at doing all this over the phone and through the website at robinalexis.com. You can call her for a private session at 360-457-2993, and you can email her at robin@robinalexis.com.
For the people, by the people. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk, and thanks for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. Hope you do it every Sunday morning. We're here 9 a.m. to noon on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Gifted Mystic Mount Shasta Mystic Robin Alexis is here, and you can hear her on Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis every Wednesday at noon right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. It's a Robin and Martha Sunday. Well, we'll get to animals in the news in the next hour, but right now I'm sharing with you the boys are back story. And Robin, are you still there?
I am, and Bob and I have gone through a box of Kleenex listening to your story, even though I know it, Martha. This is just... Oh,
yeah. All right, geez. You folks, everybody, are you ready for the most incredible joy and bliss that I have ever, ever experienced? Here we go. So I put that out, and I when I was talking to Scooty and Jopie about this, and you got to remember, this is, the reason I've taken so long to get there, I wanted you to know all the players, because what's gone down in the last few days with me is so unbelievably magic, and it's still happening, that it's just, oh gosh, I mean, I can hardly stay on the planet. I'm amazed at all of this. And as much as I know and understand all of this, it's incredible what is going on. And I want you to know all the players, so then when I tell you all these things that are happening, it's unbelievable. Well, okay. So I had that talk with Scooty and Jopie. Now, I didn't tell Kim about it. I didn't tell Robin about it. I didn't tell Krista and Rhonda about it. I just had this talk because I just had this revelation. All right, if I'm going to stay on the planet, I can't do it without a ruddy Abyssinian in my life. And I've done my rescuing and all of that, and I do so much to help animals. That, you know, and those of you that don't like purebreds and breeding, I'm sorry. But I feel like I cover the other bases. And by golly, if I'm going to stay, I need a ruddy Abyssinian in my life. And like I said, what's better than one? How about two? Okay, so I tell them, find the bodies, make them close, make it simple, and make it dirt obvious. Dirt obvious. Okay, now, so I just kind of forgot about it. Didn't tell anybody about it. I just forgot about it. Now, last Thursday, Thursday, I was in town. I went in town to see Bill and Judy Sanderson, my Rockhound people, because I wanted some more Thunder Eggs. I needed some Thunder Eggs. And that's another story. We won't go there. But anyway, so I had Thunder, this huge Thunder Egg in my car. So I'm already vibrating because these are really powerful rocks. And my car's kind of vibrating. I'm on my way driving home. This is Thursday afternoon. And all of a sudden, I'm getting Scooty and Jilpy in my head. And I'm feeling them. I'm feeling Scooty and Jilpy. I'm feeling Scooty and Jilpy. Huh. And I'm thinking, oh, that's kind of weird. But how nice is that? I'm feeling, you know, and I'm not getting it yet. I'm just kind of feeling Scooty and Jopie. So I get home. I go in the house. I turn on my computer. I go to my email. And there's an email from Peg from Olympia. You know, Peg from Olympia with the Pleckner dogs and the birds and all of that. And Robin, you know Peg because she's called us on a Robin and Martha Sunday. And you've worked with her and you've helped her with her birds. And she's very connected to me in Animal World. She doesn't know how spiritually gifted she is. Hopefully she's beginning to figure it out. But she sent me an email. And she said, I have no idea why I did this. And the long story of this is, so she sends me this email. And she said, found this ad on eBay for Abyssinians. Here's the link. So I said, oh, okay. So now my old computer usually doesn't allow me to connect to this kind of stuff. Connected right up. The ad comes up. It is an ad for ruddy Abyssinian kittens. Now it's a month old. It's been posted for a month. But I look at the location The breeder is in Snohomish, 30 minutes from my house. I'm like, oh my gosh. And there are all kinds of photos posted of the babies. Oh my gosh. Now, as after the fact, or, you know, on down the line, I sent the link to Robin and you saw those photos. Too cute or what?
Well, and as soon as I saw them, I was like, I emailed you back.
Right. So anyway, so there I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, okay, could this be? And I'm in my heart, I'm saying, God, are Scooty and Jilps back? Are they there? Or is this, because this ad is a month old. And she had two litters a month apart. One litter born in May, one litter born in June. And of course, all of my cats have always been little Geminis like me. Scooty was born on like on June 4th and the Blue Boys on June 8th or vice versa. And Mohaka, we gave her the birthday of June 1st because that's when she showed up, and came into that body. Anyway, so I didn't know. I wasn't quite getting clear. I tried to call Robin right away. I couldn't get a hold of her. She didn't answer the phone. So I called Kim. Kim picked up right away. Said, Kim, am I nuts? Is this happening? She said, how hard am I going to have to hit you over the head this time, Martha? Okay. So I call Andrea, the breeder. And she doesn't answer, so I leave a message. And I figure, well, it's late afternoon. She's probably, you know, maybe she's not home from work yet or kids or whatever. So I'm sitting there. I can't stand it. But I'm thinking, okay, this is they're either there or this is my connection. But now that I know this is starting, I want it now. And it can't happen soon enough for me. Well, so about, 5:30, she calls me back. I pick up the phone I tell her that I, you know, I've just seen the ad and I realize the ad is old. But does she have any, I said, I'm looking for two ruddy male kittens. And she says, oh, what a coincidence, Martha. I have two ruddy male kittens left. They're half brothers, one from one litter, one from the other. How fast can I get there to see them? I said, can I come over? And she said, well, the house is kind of a mess. I said, don't care. That mess does not matter. She said, well, I've got to deal with the kids and all this kind of stuff. And can you come at 7:30? I will be there. So I get in my car to drive out there. Well, oh, and before all this happens, so now I've got like an hour or, you know, an hour and a half to kill before I can leave. And, of course, I want to go now. My boys are coming back, and I'm not sure if they're back yet or if this, you know. I'm thinking, I don't think they're already that they're there. I think that because I'm not feeling them in those two bodies, but I'm feeling circling. And so I want to go look at these two little boys and check them out, make sure I like these bodies. And then maybe we can do a, you know, swap out, you know, that walk-in business, and maybe we can get Scooty and Jopi in these little these bodies. So Kim's already told me how hard to... What Kim said to me when I talked to her, Kim Miller, Medium and Animal Intuitive, how hard do I have to hit you over the head? Okay. But then she says, I'm not sure if they're going to be kittens available for you. She said, because there's a hold, something's holding on a kitten. So I don't know if they're going to be in these litters or if they're going to be in the next litter, but this is your connection. They will be there. And then she says, and what about the dog? Are you getting a dog? And I said, well, no, well, yeah, you know, I'm going to get another golden, but I'm going to get kittens first. She says, but I'm getting this big yellow lab. What's this with this yellow lab? And I said, I'm not getting a yellow lab. She said, but there's a yellow lab. What's the yellow lab? I said, Kim, I'm not doing dogs now. I'm doing cats. I'll talk to you later. All right. So then Robin calls And I tell her what's going on. I say, I'm sending you a link. Check it out. Are my boys going to be there? This is it. And Robin said, I think that this is it. This is it. Not sure if they're there or they're going to be there. She said, but if they're, oh, I think by the time you called, I knew there were two. Didn't I know there were two by the time you called, Robin?
Yes.
Yes, and you said, right away, before I even asked you, you said, Scooty and Jilp say that if you like these bodies, they've already worked out a soul swap, and they'll pop into these bodies. It's okay.
Yes.
Yes, okay. So I said, cool. All right. Hung up the phone.